original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to LA Talk Radio Channel 1. To call in, dial 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815.
You're listening to Teen Trends with Dave and Friends, with your host, David Cohen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Dave and Friends. Every Sunday on LATalkRadio.com, the best internet talk station in the world.
Got you on my mind again tonight.
How's it going, everybody? This is Teen Trends with Dave and Friends on LATalkRadio.com, the best talk station in the world. You guys know that, right?
Of course they do.
Of course. This is the show where we talk about anything and everything from the teen perspective, what is on your mind. If you guys want to call in live, you can do so, 323-203-0815. Once again, that number is 323-203-0815. You can also email me live on the air, teentrendswithdave@gmail.com. Once again, that's teentrendswithdave@gmail.com. So, guys, as you know, we have guests on our show, correct? This is what we do. You know, we bring in people, we talk, right?
Yeah, like to see what's up with them.
Like to see what's up with them. This is more than an honor. We have John Davies. Now, let me explain, if you guys don't already know, who John Davies is. He's a famous opera singer, dramatic baritone, and a vocal coach. Welcome.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. Listen,
you've definitely heard John Davies before. If you don't consciously know that you've heard him, I can promise you, you have. World famous opera singer for how long? Forever.
Yeah.
And he's been listened to and watched in more than 230 countries.
That's 130, Dave.
130. It's gosh.
Not 230 in the world.
You know what?
Singing on the moon.
You are that shows that I'm still a teen. I still have things to learn. Right?
Gotta go back to school, baby.
400 countries. 230. Must have been a typo. Well, welcome, John. It is such a pleasure and more than an honor to have you in the studio today.
Yes, it's a pleasure to be here, Dave.
Well, thank you.
John, I like your accent. I'm just curious, where are you from?
I'm from Australia.
Ah, yeah, cool.
But you can't come in here speaking Australian because nobody is going to understand that.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to understand. Same words, but they all mean different things. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Just to let the listeners know, I had the opportunity to experience just how awesome of a teacher and a person, more than a teacher, a person. Well, not more. He's just perfect. He's just a perfect human being.
No. Did you bring flowers?
Flowers and chocolates, John. They're in the waiting room. I got the opportunity to be in his singing camp in Los Angeles this past summer. And not only did he donate a full week of his expertise and time, but he rewarded each and every student with a gift of $100 for participating in his singing camp. With personal appearances, John is constantly in demand and, you know, in concerts or in the recording studio or for his pitch perfection, as well as his talents in vocal training. Recording artists and recording studios representing artists who sing all types of music, John has taught many singers who have become well-known artists, and many who work daily, who you could consider to be working singers, making a living completely by their vocal talents, inspired by John. Yeah. a Sydney, Australia native, John now calls Los Angeles, California home. He spends 10 hours a day singing and vocal coaching. John Davies Vocal Camp, or Vocal Studio, opened this September in Hollywood. So that's John. That's John, everybody.
It's a good run through.
Yeah, there we go. John, because we have you on the show, obviously we're going to be asking you questions, because listeners want to know. They do. They really do.
Far away.
So I'm just going to throw this out here. How else would you describe yourself besides a famous opera singer and a vocal coach?
Well, I'm a great dancer. did I say that? and I'm not a great dancer at all. I hate it. But, I don't bother describing myself as anything really, Dave. I just sort of go and do what I do.
Right.
Yeah. And, yeah.
Right. That's actually
good mindset.
That's awesome. Yeah. I was going to say, something that I've realized and, you know, it's in the media, it's in this and that is, you know, a lot of people who become well known, they develop an ego. And this is something that, you know, from day one, you know, this something you don't have, yeah. Which is wonderful. You know, this is I think that honestly, ego is the almost like it's a bit of a downfall, you know, for such talented people.
Kanye West. Yeah, I'm gonna show teeth diamond.
Let me just put it out there, Dave, that the only people who develop the egos are the ones who haven't done anything to deserve the fame that they got.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Like, so if you're a complete fool, right. But you happen to be a good looking fool,
yeah.
And they put you right at the top, right. Then you think, oh, people at the top, they carry on in a certain way and get sort of certain attitude, you know. Whereas, like, if you're in classical singing or something like that,
right.
Man alive, you know, all you do is work.
Right.
You know, and you just work, and you don't have any days off. And by the time you've been doing that for years and years and years, you know, you don't have an ego. I mean,
you don't have time for one.
You don't have energy.
Yeah. Start.
Right.
You know, and I know some very, 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 very famous people right at the top. And, you know, they're just all nice guys. It's just like, yeah, let's get on with it.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, all that attitude and stuff, that's for, like, kind of starlets and...
Yeah.
You know, and at the end of the day, I mean, you know, like, you know, people in films who carry on like idiots like that, well, you know, what do they do?
Right.
You know?
Absolutely.
What do they do?
Absolutely.
They don't, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, another thing. See, I have many philosophies when it comes to ego. So, like, it's fun to converse, you know, with, you know. Another thing about ego is it's almost like, you know, you'd think that for one to, you know, have so much attention that, okay, there's a fine line, I believe, between, you know, ego and insecurity, you know, one who's insecure usually makes up for it through ego.
Like John said, right. Like the people who get to the top simply right. On the looks, not on the talent, that's why right. They're insecure.
Yeah.
That's why they have their ego.
Well, okay. Like how they didn't right. Do much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know. Absolutely.
Yeah, trying to compensate for that. Yeah. I have a quick question for John. John, do you have kids or a wife and kids?
No.
No?
No. I just got rid of all of them and I moved out here. I just left a lot in Australia.
when did
that,
you...
That question wasn't on the script.
I'm sorry. I was just curious. It's Teen Trends. Wanted to see if you've had to raise kids, go through their whole teenage, horrible, crazy, rebellious years. But, you know, teens are all the same for the
Absolutely.
Most part in their...
Absolutely.
Little
when did you discover your passion for singing, and what made you decide to coach and teach singing,
which you do
to a phenomenal?
Well, that's two questions there, Dave. singing was a thing that we all had to do at elementary school, and around when you're 10, that school,
right,
or whatever
right,
you call
right.
it here. And when I was 11. There was myself, and another guy and a chick. And we must have gone all right on account of they made us soloists in front of this big choir, which went and sang at places like out here at Glendale Galleria.
Okay.
Yeah, those sorts
absolutely
of things. And,
absolutely.
Yeah, so that was when I was 11 and always did music anyway. But I played in the orchestra as well. And I was sitting there one night turning over to about page 120 after midway in a season of a long running Broadway show. I forget what it was. And I was getting very bored. And I thought, gee, you know, those guys up on stage don't do much compared to what we do here in the orchestra pit. And they get all the glory plus extremely high paychecks compared to us. And so I thought, I'm going to have a shot at that.
Right.
Because I thought, well, I've got some idea what to do. And, you know, I was, you know, I had no problem the music side of it.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, but,
you know, I was working professionally when I was 17 as a musician.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so that's a teen trend. Go for that.
Yeah.
Get yourself a professional musician's job when you're 17. You wish. And anyhow, so the thing is, awesome. So I gave it a shot. I didn't tell anybody because I thought, well, you know, when you're playing music, you can if you do a wrong note, which is something you don't do, but if you were to do one, you can always blame it on something like, you know, you can say, oh, somebody left some sweat on the keyboard or something, my finger slipped or something like that, whatever. But when you sing, you got nobody to blame except yourself.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so it's just you and that's it. And if you're doing a wrong note, well, you're an idiot.
Right.
You can't blame it on anybody.
Right.
So I didn't tell anybody that I was taking lessons. I found a very, very, very good singing teacher, and I used to sneak around there and take my lessons. And the first thing anybody knew about me ever having taken lessons, but I was singing professionally.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I said, we didn't know you could sing. I said, well, I didn't tell anybody. You know, why bother talking about it? Just do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and about giving lessons, that was funny. I was in the Sydney Opera House doing my trade. I was there for a year or two learning the performance side of everything because they had the Opera Academy there.
Right.
And, you know, that's Sydney Opera House, that big white thing.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And anyhow, there was a couple of singers in there who we worked with. There was Dame Joan Sutherland, who just recently passed away. She was hailed as one of the greatest singers ever in history, which is true.
Right.
There was her and another friend of mine, Heather Begg, who was the resident principal mezzo-soprano at the Royal Opera, Covent Garden. Anyhow, I'm walking past around lunchtime, and I heard that Heather was going to give some lessons. Now, she was a fantastic singer. Yeah, well, so was Joan Sutherland. Amazing. Anyhow, I said, hey, Heather, I heard you're going to give some singing lessons. I'm putting my hand up to get some lessons off you.
Yeah.
And she said, oh, I thought about it, but I'm not going to do it. And Sutherland said, why aren't you giving lessons? She said, oh, I haven't got time. She said, I don't want to. You know, she said, the problem is when you give lessons, the students expect you to live their life for them. They ask you questions about anything and everything. And she said, anyhow, you don't need lessons off of me. She said, why don't you give lessons? And I said, I can't give lessons. I don't know what to do. She said, yes, you do. I've heard you. You're very good. And I said, well, thanks for that. I said, but I think I need lessons. She said, and Sutherland comes in. She said, yeah, why don't you give lessons? I said, well, I don't want to give lessons. And she said, yes, you do. It'll be great. You can do that. You've got time now.
Right.
And the pair of them ganged up on me. You got that phrase out here?
Absolutely.
Yeah, ganged up on me and said, yeah, well, yeah, go and do it. And I thought, well, gee, if those two think I should be giving lessons, I'll have a shot. So I did.
And how old were you at this time?
No, I didn't think of that. let me see if there's numbers involved.
It's cool if it's too much. I understand.
Yeah, it is a bit too much. It's Sunday fine, here. It's John. A Sabbath, you know, and all of that. Whatever.
It's fine.
Yeah. It was a long time ago.
Right.
Oh, actually, yeah, I remember when it was. I'm not answering that question. It was too long ago. Yeah.
I appreciate your sense of humor, John.
That's fine. Go with it.
That's all you can do, right? what other types of music do you like to listen to besides, obviously, you know, classics and opera?
Yeah, well, I don't listen to much, Dave, because I do music all day.
Right.
And so, you know, it's like, you ever seen a mechanic's car? You know.
Oh, yeah.
They drive wrecks.
You're absolutely correct.
And electricians, you go around to their house and all the light bulbs don't work. There's wires hanging out of the roof.
Yeah.
So I don't listen to much. In fact, I got a couple of CDs of Pacific Islanders playing string bands.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's awesome.
It's kind of like a primitive form of the music they do in Hawaii. You know, but I spend so much time working with music, you know, like outside of that, I got a couple of band projects at the moment.
Right.
So I've been listening to their stuff a bit to, you know, it's Metaclique. Did I mention those guys? Metaclique.
No, I don't believe you did.
Yeah. We did tracks for them. Like it's a New York sort of dance club, dance mix stuff.
Okay. Very cool.
And these are a couple of white guys who are both nuts, and they're doing a kind of sort of white version of rap.
That's funny.
But the thing is the songs are really, really hilarious.
Right.
Because they're just day-to-day things, like one of them's called Asian Honey, and you can guess what that's about. And, yeah.
Johnny, we actually have a caller on the line. I'm going to take this.
Oh, yeah.
How's it going, guys? Teen Trends with Dave and Friends. You're live on the air. Who are we speaking to?
This is Marilyn. Hi there, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Marilyn?
Fine, thank you. I have two questions for John.
All right.
One is, what is his favorite song or piece? And the second question is, would he sing a few bars?
I'm passing that one to John.
Hi, Marilyn. What was the first question?
The first question is, what is your favorite piece of music?
Oh, yeah.
And the second one was, would you sing a few bars or hum a few bars our pleasure?
Yeah, I can do that. I wouldn't say I have a favorite piece, Marilyn, but music I'm interested in, most people are very bored with. I get into the really cerebral stuff like late Beethoven and things like that, and Brahms. It's not popular, but it's real artwork, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the other one, what was that? Hum a couple of... If I piatosto, ille nostra povera gabbana distrioni. There you go.
Very beautiful.
Thank you, Marilyn.
Thank you very much, Marilyn, for calling in.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure. Thanks, John, for doing that.
Yeah.
Make the listeners happy.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I have to say, to be completely honest, one of my all-time favorite things about attending your vocal camp was definitely like hearing you like belt. That's awesome. That's so awesome.
Yeah.
We absolutely, you know, probably shouldn't do that in the studio, but I just for the listeners, to give them a little conceptualization, phenomenal, like absolutely phenomenal, you know. I don't know if we probably have, you know, some listeners that have been to an opera house or so.
Yeah, of course.
Absolutely.
At one point in your life, you've always gone. Well, for me, I took music for 7 years in high school and middle school. And we had some trips where we'd go and see the orchestras perform. They'd have, like, opera singers with them.
Right.
I've seen some Broadway shows. I don't know
absolutely.
If that counts. But there's, you know, other opera singers.
Yeah. But John Davies is Immaculate. Well, absolutely immaculate.
What we got there is a situation, when you use the word belt, that's got a particular meaning out here. It's a style, you know, they call a Broadway belt. It's just a sort of thing that, like, I guess one of the early belters of renown was Liza Minnelli.
Right.
You know, that right. style of delivery, it, you know.
Absolutely.
Bordering on, you know, pathological insanity.
Absolutely.
But,
yes.
Yeah, but people love it. We go a lot louder than that. On account of we don't have microphones. I don't know if the listeners know that, but you'll have 100 guys typically in the orchestra.
Right.
You'll have 80 to 100, sometimes a lot more in the chorus.
Right. Right.
And then there's you, and all those other guys are making all that racket, and you don't have a microphone.
Right. Right.
So part of the job description is to be able to generate an enormous amount of noise without hurting yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
John, we actually have another caller on the air. We're going to take this. Yeah. Hi, you are on the air live, Teen Trends with Dave and Friends. Who are we speaking to?
Hey, guys. This is Ariana. John, you remember me?
Oh, Ariana.
Ariana, how are you?
Yeah.
I'm doing wonderful. How are you guys?
We're doing swell. We're doing absolutely wonderful. Yeah.
I had a question for John, actually. John, it's been a while since we've talked.
Yep, far away.
So speaking of the vocal camp, I remember I improved my voice over, like, within 2 days. I was already singing better, and I felt better about my voice. And I remember David sings reggae. David doesn't do opera, but within a couple days, he was also, like, immensely improving, and I was like, blown away. And I was just thinking, do you think that anybody who wants to sing should learn how to sing opera, or, like, the way that you teach to improve their talents or lack thereof?
Yeah, what you've got to do is say, right, everybody's voice works the same way, right? And it's a biomechanical instrument. It only works one way. And either you get that right or you get it wrong. It doesn't matter whether you're singing classical, pop music, reggae, don't matter. Provided you're getting the basic principles right of how to run that voice, you can get it to work as best it can and never get injured and never get sore.
Right.
Yeah. And so, the people who know most about that are the classical singers. But, you know, I don't. Yeah, so...
Right, so how is it that some people tend to be, like, born with a natural talent for singing, or they just sound better than the next person? Is it just wired in their brain, or...?
No, a lot of it's got to do with the physiology there, Ariana. There's, you know, the bones and what kind of natural resonators you got in the body. Yeah. I've heard some... Sorry?
Oh, no. Go on.
Yeah, I've heard some people with fantastic voices. Like, we had a guy on a football team. He was an older guy, and just when he spoke, the whole room shook. This guy was phenomenal, you know. And he only got better with the more beer he drank. We're talking about rugby here, so it's a beer thing, right? But you know, there was a natural voice there. You know, which was, you know, hand delivered by God. But the thing is, guy, you know, like so many people, not a musical bone in his body. You know, no desire whatsoever to use his voice. Probably didn't realize he had one. You know, yes.
Yeah.
So there is a bit of hard wiring as well. You know.
Right. All right. Well, I was just curious. Thank you for answering.
Yeah. Right. Thank you very much, Ariana, for calling.
Thank you. It was good talking to you guys.
You have a wonderful day.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
So, to alliterate on that, so I had a question that I was going to ask. It was, can everyone sing? You pretty much answered that for me, but let's put me on the stand right here. I took choir class for one semester. I'm not the greatest singer, but if... I can't.
It's true, guys. He sucks. Much. No, I'm totally kidding. He's a good singer.
Pretty much. My question is, so if, say you have two left feet when it comes to singing, I don't know how to
Okay. Two left vocal cords. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hanging out of your ear.
Could you turn two lefts into left and a right? You know?
Yeah.
Just on anyone.
Yeah. Just about. I mean, thing is, as you say, Kevin, everybody can sing. Everybody can sing. Like, just find somebody on earth who don't know happy birthday, right? So, in a normal definitional thing, that is kind of singing. However, do they sound good? or are people going to get off of their butt and go down the store and buy a ticket to go and listen to them? You know, that's
right.
The thing. So, it's everybody can run. But not everybody's running in the Olympics. You know what I mean?
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's
good way to put it.
Yeah. But, well, it's just the fact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I want to get, if that's obviously okay with you, I want to get a little bit more personal in the sense of, what are some interesting things about you that don't have to do with singing, that interest you? What do you think about? What are your hobbies?
Well, I like swimming.
There you go. Yeah. Awesome.
And I had that for years and years and years and years. Used to do long distance. And actually used to go around a place and swim from island to island.
No way.
Wow.
Out in the ocean, yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
We're not talking about islands that was like millions of miles apart, you know.
New York to Hawaii. No.
Yeah, that's a little trip. But you find these islands around a place and that, you know. I saw one of those things, you know, that got Steve Irwin, you know, that guy.
Yeah,
who got,
absolutely.
Got done by that giant stingray.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I saw one of them when I was swimming across a place to a place called Ericor.
Okay.
It was a short swim. It's only a short swim.
Right.
And I'm just thrashing through the water, and there's one of them things right under me, and I thought,
no.
Oh, yeah. And
no way.
Yeah, but I didn't. I just immediately stopped.
Right.
Yeah, and stopped thrashing around, and just used my brain, and just sort of glided away, hoping the thing wasn't gonna do anything.
Right.
Because they're huge. I mean, you know, they are like 8 foot across.
Right. Right.
You know.
Right.
And what bothered me was one of my buddies, his buddy had just gotten stung by one, and it didn't kill him, but they had to cut his leg off.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
No way.
And, I thought, ooh. So anyhow, I just drifted out of the way, whereas other people who go poking them with sticks, you know, agitating them, well, you know, things are going to happen.
Right.
It's their habitat.
Right.
You know, so yeah. So I do swimming. I mean, that's the thing I'm finding difficult out here. I contacted every Olympic pool. There's some good Olympic pools around here.
Right.
But they're only open for 3 months a year.
Really?
And I'm thinking, yeah, they're all empty now. They've emptied them out now because it's getting... Oh, it's too cold. It's too cold.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, I've been swimming in the winter swimming comp for a long time.
Right.
That is, you know, you get in, that water's like, well, you know, 50 degrees. Yeah,
oh.
Good.
Woo.
But you just, you know, by the time you've done a mile or two, you know, you're fine.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
yeah.
With the body heat and
sure.
physiology of the human anatomy.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
All the pools here are empty
right.
already. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. We can try.
Yeah.
We can try to swim in them.
Yeah, but well, you're going to get a real sore
here. Yeah.
Yeah, especially when you're diving.
Yeah. probably not a positive thing. Hey, let's dive into an empty swimming pool. Yes, absolutely. John, can you tell listeners about your vocal camp in Hollywood?
Yeah, well, it was down at the Colburn School. Which was a really good school.
It was indeed.
Yeah, and Steinway pianos everywhere. Anyhow, I put together a program that went for 1 week, and I put in as much of it as much as I could from what's called La Vecchia Scuola Italiana, which is the ancient Italian tradition of singing. Italians and French invented singing, So they get it right better than everybody else.
Right, right.
Yeah. You know, nobody gets it right like the Italians and the French. They're the owners of it, really.
Right.
You know, everybody else just copies. Anyhow, so I put in, like, you know, a substantial amount of content from what I learned, you know, studying the Italian school. And of course, you know, as Ariana said, you know, in 2 days she was singing better.
Right. So in 2 days I was singing, but one day I was singing better.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah.
And anyhow, so, you know, just shared some of those, what are known really as the secrets.
Right. Yeah.
Or, and the tricks.
Absolutely.
That's really impressive.
Yeah.
2 days and David's already rocking
it's,
it.
Yeah. It's true. It's absolutely true.
And what we're doing is actually, I'm going to do that again because it was good.
Yeah.
It was hard work, but good fun.
Right.
But, you know, there was a lot of positive things came out of it. So I'm going to do that again for the summer.
Very cool.
In 2011.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
You know, so, I don't know about the publicity for that, but that's what I'm aiming for, is doing it again.
Very cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So what are some of the most important things you focus on in voice coaching?
Well, right at the start, one of the priorities is to see how people breathe.
Right.
Yeah. And just invariably, they're going to be getting it wrong.
Right. Yeah. I remember that as one of the first things that you told everybody.
Yeah.
In the auditorium. You told us to breathe, and then you're like, oh, you're all doing it wrong.
Yeah.
And we're like, what?
Humans breathe right when they're asleep.
Really?
Yeah, of course I do. Everything really works right when you're asleep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool.
You know? And the bottom line there is that, you know, we got, in the Western world anyway, we're pretty fixated on posture and, you know, picking your shoulders up and all of that stuff, and that just disconnects all your breathing gear right there.
Right.
Whereas when you're asleep, you breathe with your belly.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's the bit that actually is supposed to be doing the breathing. And singing relies on breathing. And if there's a flaw in the breathing, then the singing's going to be wrong.
Really?
Yeah.
I also remember you saying that the best breathers on the planet are babies.
Yeah, babies and dogs.
Yeah, babies and dogs.
Dogs don't have this thing about looking great in a swimsuit.
Right.
Oh, some of them do, I guess.
Yeah.
Poodles, maybe.
That's funny.
That's very interesting. I remember when I was taking wind ensemble in high school, my teacher was always saying the power comes from your abdominal.
Abdomen, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, he was good. He was on track.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Do you think it's fair to suggest that being able to sing well and, you know, expressing the meaning of a song may help people get in touch with their feelings? You know, in other words, if people understand the meaning of a song, you know, they can kind of like learn to be more in touch with their feelings with that song. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. All songs feel different.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's a different energy that emanates.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that the way a song actually literally feels in our body is unique, because our body works a certain way to make a certain bunch of sounds.
Right.
So every song, being a unique thing, has a unique feel to it. So it,
right.
So when I say that phrase, once more with feeling,
right. right.
Fact,
absolutely.
It's a bit more accurate than what people might think, because in fact, if you're not having a body response to a song, and your body is not in fact creating that song,
right,
then the song will just be drab.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It will be drab. So, and if it's, you know, if you don't have that bodily sort of thing going on in the song,
right,
then it's not going to affect other people who are listening to it.
Right.
Because, otherwise, it's, you know, just a bunch of notes coming out, right?
That's it. There you go, Kevin. It's just, words in the right place on different notes.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, something else that I would say about music is, and this is, it's interesting. Music, I believe, is a universal language. And when I mean universal, I literally mean a universal language in the sense of it has parallels to everything. Music, any type of music is a vibration. It's a frequency, as is anything else.
Yeah.
And with a human being, you know, like with an entity per se, you know, creating certain frequencies, let it be through an instrument, let it be through your vocal cords, let it be through, you know, anything that you can produce a vibrational frequency with in tune with another vibrational frequency, it, you know, it creates a certain, you know, harmonic resonance. And, you know, that is what creates the energy behind it. For example, you know, if you're like in a certain mood, you know, you're feeling like, oh, my girlfriend just left me. Oh, life sucks. You know, I'm gonna listen to some, you know, really sad music, you know, and then like you put on, I'm just going to throw it out here, like Death Cab for Cutie, for example, you know, kind of like, and I don't know if you're familiar with this band. They're kind of more like,
how would you describe that?
It's like, it's just sad music. Yeah, you're just sad. Like, I want to get happy. Like, like this music is kind of like, you know, she left me in the dark, you know, and like, you know, stuff like that. So if you notice, you know, you are feeling a certain mood, you listen to a certain type of music, and it literally alters your energy. It literally alters, like, you know, what you emit. You know, your, it's, in other terms, you know, more like, I guess you could say, like, physics terms or quantum terms, you know, are more like electromagnetic spectrum of you. It is completely altering it simply because you are listening to this music, you know. Therefore, you are creating a completely different, you know, reality for yourself.
It's pretty simple. It's, if you're listening to sad, you know, music, right? You're probably going to be sad. If you're listening to some death metal, you're going to be
come
raging.
Come on, Kev. No, yeah. Absolutely. You know. When I John, I used to, in my younger days, I used to ride motorcycles. I used to go out to Gorman, you know, Pismo, just like dirt places.
Yeah.
And, you know, ride motorcycles for fun with my father. And on our drives up to get really like pumped, we'd put on like really hardcore metal, like rush off run. We'd be like, yeah. We'd be like driving up, like, no, 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 no. Yeah, Dad, motorcycles. Yeah, son, motorcycles. And then we'd get on our bikes and just like think of like, no, 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 no. That's, you should have seen me in the studio, guys. Listeners, that was crazy. But it's interesting. You know, it's interesting.
You can put your pants back on now, Dave.
Oh, no. I'm so sorry, John. I just get so riled up.
I know,
John, so you have a big variety of kids who come into your camp, whether like with their styles of music. You have the reggae singers like Dave. You have the classical singers.
What up, man?
I think that's really cool how you can teach them all in the same way, and they'll improve their vocal cords. And, you know, everyone has their own style of music. But what would you say to the kids in choir classes who have to sing the classical music and they don't particularly like it? How would you get them to enjoy this kind of music more?
I wouldn't.
You would.
They don't
done,
like it.
Son,
they don't
like it. From the man himself.
Yeah, I mean, not everybody is a musician.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, what do you want everybody being a musician for?
Right.
You know? Like, you know, it's, tell them to go paint or something. You know, I mean, you know, there's quite a short amount of time that we have on the planet.
Right.
You know, and I think, like, parents are really sort of kind of, you know, got a lot to answer for when it comes to sort of, oh, well, you know, I tell you what I've heard a lot of, Kevin, is like, you know, some mum will ring up and say, my kid's a great singer and da-da-da-da-da, and I want you to train him, da-da-da-da-da. And the kid turns out to be six. And you think, let the kid go and play with a football, you idiot.
Why don't you do what he loves. Yeah.
What it is like these people, I've heard mums actually say, I've heard, well, people who come to my studio, you can come to my studio anytime, by the way, listeners, and get singing lessons. But the thing is...
Do it. It's a phenomenal experience. Yeah, just throwing it out there.
Yeah, good. The thing is that I've had kids come in, you know, and they're so petrified of singing.
Right.
You know, and I immediately think, uh-oh, I know what's gone on here. And it's something like, Mum has told them time and time again that she gave up her opportunity to be a professional singer to have kids.
Right.
And you think, right, there's one mum we're going to put up against the wall and shoot. You know, because they're not needed. I mean, they're just, that is pathologically insane.
Right.
To actually sort of transfer their inadequacy onto a six-year-old.
Absolutely. Or, yeah.
You know. And then, you know, by the time they're 18, the kids come, they come and see me for lessons, and they're too scared to open their mouth.
Right, yeah.
Because they've had Mum going on how great a singer she could have been and all of that.
Right. It's like the football dad. It's like, son, you got to play football. But, Daddy, I want to... No, son, you got to play football, you know? And then, you know, he starts... It's literally, you know, the parentals living through... They're children because they have, you know, some sort of unfinished
issues.
It's funny, you know, like, I don't know about you, Dave, but I feel like a lot of kids, as they're growing up, at one point took piano lessons. Like, I can meet so many people who just parents buy a piano and, hey, kid, you're going to take lessons. Like, so many, it happens all the time. Yeah. And then the kids, they hate it. They hate it. Yeah. And they stop after 2 years.
I
was like, Mom, I don't want to take my lessons. No, take your lessons.
I never took piano lessons. I have to say I've been very blessed with my parents. They've always supported me in anything I want to do. I love them. I love you guys, if you're listening. We actually have another caller on the air. Let's take this. How's it going? You are live on the air with Teen Trends with Dave and friends. We got John Davies in the studio. What's going on? Who are we speaking to?
Hey, this is Sean Draper, and I'm just wondering how I can help get my singing voice back now that I'm in college.
How's it going, Sean?
Sean, you lost your voice.
It's going great, dude.
So you're saying you lost your voice?
No, it's just I haven't sung as much as I used to because now I live in dorms. And I, like, live with somebody, and I'm just wondering, like, if there are any, like, good daily tips to kind of, like, rebuild back my voice to, like, where it was in high school.
How old are you, Sean?
I am 19 years old.
Oh, okay. Well, it sounds like you've got an environmental problem. In other words, to me, it seems like what you're saying is you can't just scream out anytime you want anymore.
And yeah, exactly.
Okay, so your best bet there is to avoid getting any of the sorts of things going wrong that happen when you sing under any under conditions of inhibition or apprehension, right?
Okay.
That's the big killer. So what I advise people to do if they've got to be constantly holding themselves back when they sing, or if they feel like somebody's listening critically or anything like that, I say, don't sing. Simple.
Okay.
Because the damage that happens when you're holding back is it actually does physical damage to the vocal structure.
So you, oh, wow.
Yeah. Sorry, you heard it here first. Teen Trends. So what you might do is like go down to the church and see if they've got a room or something that you can rent out for $5 or something one night a week, and go down there with a backing track and scream the place down.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Church will often have a space there or something.
We've got some practice rooms at the university, so I can.
Yeah.
That sounds, yeah.
Where are you, Sean?
I'm at University of Santa Cruz.
All right. Okay. Well, get in a practice room up there. They should be pretty pretty soundproof.
Yeah.
It'll be a small space, but here's the trick. Put earplugs in. Put earplugs in while you're doing it, so as you can.
Okay.
So as you can scream really loud and not hurt your ears. So there you go.
Yeah.
Sean, actually, another thing that's really cool that I learned at John Ava's vocal camp, so this really awesome woman came in. She was a guest speaker, and she was, you know, she was very a wonderful singer. Along with I'm sorry, John. What else was she known for?
Oh,
the book.
That's Priscilla Dunstan was the right. was the woman who identified the baby's language.
Right.
Yeah. I trained her.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Basically, well, what she did, and so she comes in and she tells, you know, the class to take books. So we get two books and then we put them in front of our ears. Like literally in front of our ears, parallel to perpendicular to the side of our eyes, like the front, like side of our brain. She told us to sing, and at first everybody was like, "Wait, what?" at first people were like, "Wait, how? Like this is interesting." We were skeptical. Like we were totally open to it. Like we were open to everything, you know. But it was interesting at first, and then we did it, and it was insane. Was like absolutely like you hear an absolute difference in your voice. You feel a difference. Literally, man, it's insane. Try it out if you're interested.
Get
two books, put one on each side of your head in front of your ears and sing, and then take the books off and sing. And it's insane.
What kind of differences can you hear?
Basically it's like this is kind of like the whole idea behind it. It's more like a mental thing with, you know, when you hear yourself sing, like, so, when you hear yourself singing, you're critiquing yourself. You know, you're getting kind of, maybe I don't sound good, or like, ooh, maybe I should, you know, try to do this. But when you put the books in front of you, it feels like you are, like half of your body's in one dimension and another half is like in singing dimension, and you just like sing without restraint, because it's like blocking you hearing yourself, but like so your total confidence is out without you judging yourself, in the sense. It's really interesting. It's kind of like a bit unexplainable.
Yeah, that sounds
great. But yeah, it's really cool. It's really awesome. Try it out.
Yeah.
I invented that prank, by the way.
Did you really?
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I totally didn't know that.
I showed that to her about 10 years ago.
That's cool.
That's great. Well, Sean, thank you very much for calling in.
Oh, sure thing.
Yeah.
Best of luck with it, Sean.
Yeah, you have a wonderful day.
You too, guys.
All right, bye-bye. That's awesome. Very cool. Yeah, it's always nice to get, you know, people who are down for singing help, you know.
Yeah.
If
they can always give me a call and come and have lessons, you know.
Yeah, if you want to
that thing actually, you know, I mean, you see so many people, they come down when they've gotten voice injuries,
right?
Because they get the job singing with the band, or they start singing, they never had lessons,
right? Absolutely.
You know, you think, you idiot.
Yeah.
You know, do you go and practice medicine? Do you actually go and become a surgeon before you learned how?
Right.
No.
Right.
And let me tell you, for the purpose of what I do, like classical singing, man alive, the skill set is way, way, way beyond what you need for surgery.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
But people think, oh yeah, I can do that.
John, if this is obviously completely up to you, but how can listeners get in touch with you?
Oh, they can actually go online if they like to johndaviesmusic.com and leave a message there. Or your listeners, Dave, can contact me direct at john@johndaviesmusic.com.
All right.
Or you can phone in. It's 323-850-3580. and leave a message. And that's actually my studio on the lot.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It's Santa Monica and Formosa. That's the old Warner Brothers United Artists lot.
Oh, that's
in Hollywood. And you can drive on the lot and park free, too.
Oh, well, guys.
Free parking in Hollywood.
There's that. You know what?
Down there for that.
I think it's the apocalypse, people.
Yeah.
Free parking in Hollywood. That's funny. John, I want to thank you so very much for coming on the studio.
Yeah, it's a pleasure,
Dave. The pleasure's all mine, please. Such an honor. If you guys want to get in contact with John, you can do so. JohnDaviesMusic.com. And also his email, it's john@johndaviesmusic.com. That's the one. Thank you guys so much for listening. This is Teen Trends with Dave and Friends. Have a wonderful Sunday filled with happiness, laughter, love, light, all of the above.
And music.
And music, of course. All right, guys. You have a good one. Fire.